Today on The Breakdown, there are 17 players left at the Hyatt Regency Paris because they're playing the EPT main event. There were over 1,600 players who entered this event, including re-entries. There's only 17 left. $50,000 has been locked up. But, you know, $1.2 million for first place means there's a lot to play for. And we're going to have two of these players, that's right, two of them, are going to lock horns in what is probably going to be a very consequential and important pot. I don't really know all the details of it, but I know Grant watched it and said, this is breakdown worthy no matter what happens from here on out. So interesting, cool things are going to happen. I'm excited for it. I'm excited to see a clash of the poker titans or, you know, the poker non-titans. What's the, like, one level below titans, Grant? Do you know? Grant's not taking the bait. He just nodded. Will not answer. Thought we were going to get you that time. I don't know why I thought that. Is it just like the gods? The gods are below the titans, right? Yeah. The clash of the poker gods. It's very exciting. Let's all get together on this one. On The Breakdown with Grant Dennison and Jonathan Levy.
Hey. First time. I'm not sure if the gods are below the titans. I think maybe the demigods are below the titans.
Mm. I mean, the gods and the titans, like, fought, right? That was the thing, and the titans were, like, trapped by the gods because the titans were so dangerous or something.
But
like
I would
that.
Guess a titan is more powerful than, say, Achilles.
I think
who's like a demigod.
In my mind, and maybe this is wrong, there's, like, not that many titans. They're super powerful, except for, unless you're, like, Zeus, where, like, okay, fine. But essentially, you need, like, lots of gods to kill one titan. Maybe that's just, like, because of the movies?
I think you're just thinking about, like, what a superhero movie would look like.
No. Release the Kraken, motherfucker.
Is that...
Is that a titan?
I mean, there is a movie about the Kraken, right? From, like, 2012 that was terrible.
You mean Clash of the Titans?
Yeah, the one.
There was a sequel as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
They released the Kraken. That's what I'm saying. Titans versus God. Someone tell me.
We need to know.
Here we go. The main difference is that the Titans were the second generation of Greek gods, and the Olympian gods were the third generation of Greek gods in mythology. The Olympian gods came into power after they won against the Titans in Titanomachy. Titanomachy? I don't know what that is, but that's a thing. Maybe that's the... I don't know. Is that a place? Is that an event? Nobody cares.
The things people will believe.
But so it was like the next generation down, they came up and like rose up and killed their essentially.
Well, now I got to know about the first generation.
Yeah, me too. All right.
Who's the first generation? If the Titans were the second generation and the Olympian gods.
Gen Olympian gods.
They're not Olympian though. You see?
No, the first generation of Olympians. Offspring of the... No, you're right. They're not the Olympian gods. So it's just the first generation Greek gods? Is
yeah.
that what it would be? All
yeah.
right, all right.
Come
all
on.
Right. There are people... Oh, it's like the planets and shit. It's the earth, the sky, the mountains, the sea, the darkness, the underworld, the void. Holy fuck. They're primordial deities.
Oh, okay.
So it's like fucking the elements then created like... The Titans, which then created like Zeus and company, and then Zeus and company were like, fuck you, we're in charge now, and they successioned the fuck out of them, basically.
Sure.
Yeah, they all went Kendall Roy on their ass.
Right, good point.
It makes sense if you watch the show.
Well, we've all learned a lot today.
I think we're done. I think that was a great thing, and we don't need to talk about card games.
I have one other thing I need to talk about.
Okay.
The Hyatt Regency Paris is where this takes place.
Yes.
I need to know logistics. Is this typically a casino? Or did the EPT rent out a ballroom in just a normal hotel to host a poker tournament? Is that what happened?
I am going to find out for you because I care about these things for you. But I don't know yet because it's hard to
It's tell. Probably going to be hard to figure out pretty
it
quickly.
It is pretty hard to figure out quickly.
It's
yes.
more fun to speculate than it is to know anyway.
Right. Who wants to actually know things?
In a way, that's true. And you know, true knowledge... is divined not from the answer, but from the journey towards the answer.
From the question. Just the question is really where you learn
no,
everything.
No, it's the in-between.
Where do we go when we die? And that's where you learn
titan
everything.
Right now. You're being such a titan right now.
Okay, fucking primordial deity.
Yeah.
Fucking knight,
I'm
whatever.
I'm the void.
Is that good? Is that a good thing? By the way, I don't think they have a casino. There's no mention of it on their website. They have a business center and a fitness club. I think they just rented out a nice thing.
Do they give you free internet in the business center?
I fucking hope so, but I bet you they don't.
Yeah, because of Paris.
Paris, man.
Bastards.
The food is good, but come on.
Yeah. Trash everywhere now. I don't know. That must be over. I haven't heard about it for a while.
I think it's still going on.
Really?
I think so.
It's just so long that nobody cares anymore. It's like, that's just a city full of trash.
Your news feeds don't care. That's different than nobody cares.
Not my news feeds. It's like when I go to like drive to pick up my daughter from daycare, I listen to NPR. So on NPR, every once in a while, there would be an update around like 2 to 3 weeks ago, but now I haven't heard any updates from NPR as an example.
Okay. Fair enough. Let's see if I have anything here on this. They are talking about the current strikes in Paris. I don't know. Man.
Who cares? The point is that the EPT...
There's a strike, a general strike that's supposed to happen tomorrow in Paris, a general strike.
The EPT rented a hotel ballroom. It's always in a casino except for this, right?
I think so, yeah. Didn't they used to do it at the Aviation Club in Paris? They did. I wonder why that changed. Maybe it was too small?
Maybe.
They always did it at the Aviation Club.
Did they used to have an EPT Paris?
Yeah, at the Aviation Club. Oh, no, I'm thinking of the WPT, not the EPT.
You idiot.
Yeah, that was really bad. So bad. Mike Sexton, I apologize to whatever part of you is still listening.
Yes. So... we're in a hotel. That's what we need to know.
You know what?
But there's not a casino attached.
Right.
Which is great for the degens in the group who, they're not going to go bust and then like lose a ton more money in the pits.
I mean, there's probably other casinos that they could go to.
Or they could just throw dice on the wall with the other degens.
There's a lot of ways to lose money anyway. Yeah. But it's going to save a few people, almost certainly. Like collectively, they're going to lose less money than they otherwise would lose.
Yep. Yeah. And the hotel will make less money than a casino would make, which is always true.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Of
course. A casino will always make more than a hotel, unless it's empty. But, if it's the same amount of people, all things considered.
All things considered.
Hyatt Regency Paris. It sounds lovely.
It does, actually.
You know what? It's working. They should have hosted this tournament because now I'm like, you know what? Next trip, Hyatt Regency Paris. I've got a few airline points, saved up. Maybe I'll use it to get to the Hyatt Regency in Paris.
I mean, you should consider that at least,
yeah.
Right? How much do you think it costs to stay at the Hyatt fucking Regency?
In Paris. Hyatt is a generally pretty high-end hotel chain, as far as I know. The most expensive hotel that I've ever paid for was a Hyatt.
Yeah.
So Paris is a very expensive city. I know that when I went to Paris in 2014, the Best Western down the street from my Airbnb was $500 a night.
Wow. This is not that bad.
Oh, really?
For tomorrow, now it's Wednesday, so this would be for Wednesday night, which has got to be the best night you could ever, the cheapest night of the whole week, essentially, maybe Tuesday night. You could get a king bed with an Eiffel Tower view for €363. So that's actually not too bad.
Oh, that's way better than I expected.
Me too.
I was going to guess something like 800.
Like in Manhattan, you probably get a much worse hotel room than this for the same amount.
Well, you know what? It might be because of the strikes.
Right, the strikes.
Nobody wants to travel to Paris right now.
You sort of can't travel to Paris in the same way. Okay, that's
so maybe it actually is more like €800 if it's a normal time and not a time when the streets are lined with garbage.
Maybe.
Because, that's not an appealing
thing. But it's a time when you'd want to go to Paris because you'd want to see it. I want to be on the ground when these things are happening. I want to see a protester throw garbage somewhere.
You know what you could do?
What?
You could just start not taking your garbage out and have a similar experience.
I want to see someone else throw garbage, though.
You can pay me to do that, and it will cost a lot less.
Huh. Where would you throw the garbage?
I could throw it in your apartment if you like.
Okay, no, that's what I'd want. Yeah, now that I think about it, because otherwise, it's not immediate enough.
Right, you'd have to actually go somewhere, and, this is a bespoke artisanal experience.
I should pay more.
Yeah, you should.
How much would you charge for that?
Since I'm a nice guy, I'm going to charge you Hyatt Regency numbers, but not the garbage time numbers, like what they usually cost when there's not garbage all over the street, so like €800.
I have to pay you in euros? That's fucked up. I'm out.
In this digital age, just use ChatGPT, figure it out. You can pay me in euros.
No, I don't like how you didn't make that a more bespoke commerce experience, and I'm out. I'm just done, and I'm going to find someone else to do it.
Finicky consumers, man. Yeah. That's what I deal with my business of throwing garbage in people's apartments.
These people want so much. Yeah. They demand so much.
They want it to be so bespoke. Use the word bespoke once in your marketing, and they're like, I expect you to have your hair parted in the way that I want you to part your hair.
And I want you to know that without me communicating that.
Right.
Otherwise, I'll get somebody else.
Right, because somebody's going to get it.
Someone's going to curate my trash-throwing experience correctly. You're not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Goodbye, sir. Here's the $200 deposit. Of course, that's non-refundable, I understand.
So this, by the way, this tournament occurred about a month ago. So
okay.
I imagine there was already trash on the streets in Paris. So
they're just
playing this $5,000 tournament inside, trash on the streets outside.
That's about how it goes these days.
Yeah, that's how it goes when you play a 5K.
What a great fucking comment.
I mean, you have just taken society and slapped it right in the face.
Dude, no, I don't slap it. I hold a mirror up to it and it sees itself.
But then you slap it
as true.
But because then you slap it when it's looking at itself, because that's a shock. It's not expecting to get slapped. And also you get to see what it looks like when you get slapped. And you're like, that is the true me. That's me at my most raw.
I like where you're going with this. But I would like to say the holding of the mirror is the slap. It's so shocking.
I would like to say the slap itself is the slap.
Yeah, you don't understand what it's like to be slapped, do you?
I do.
Have you ever been slapped in your life?
Yes.
By your parents?
No, by friends.
Oh, only friends do
it? Used to do slap bets.
Interesting definition of a friend who slaps you. That's cool.
Used to do slap bets.
Slap bets.
Yeah.
Like you wonder how many times you can slap something before you get killed?
Well, that's a different type of slap bet.
That is a slap bet.
How many people that you don't know can you slap before you die? Yeah. That's a fun slap.
I mean, that is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be die. It could just be get physically assaulted. Right?
Sure.
Does running away and having someone trying to beat you up count as physically assaulted? Or can you keep going?
No, I think you can't move once you slap them.
Okay. Now we're fucking talking. Yeah. So you have to slap them. You're allowed to talk to them beforehand? Like say anything to prepare them for this?
All right. Let's create the parameters. We need to start... From
I thought we were about to get to the hand, but this has to be done.
We have to figure out how this bet works. We have to start from square one, all right?
Yeah.
So I think you must not speak to them before slapping them.
Wow.
Now, the question is selection. Who selects who's getting slapped?
Because
if somebody that you're adversarial against is selecting, then they're going to pick somebody who looks like they're going to hit you back, you know?
You get to pick your person, don't you? Otherwise, it's always going to be one. I mean, like, go slap that dude.
The guy who looks like
go to a bar. Rock. We're going to go to some bar. I'm going to pick a guy who's a little drunk and huge and has some attitude. Like, slap him, and that'll be the end of you.
Right. Okay. Fine.
So you get
to pick who to slap.
But there has to be like an age parameter. You can't slap like a baby.
They must be
because they can't slap you.
They must be an adult.
Okay, so at least 18.
They must be able bodied. You know, all these things.
Yeah.
Sure.
And you can't prep them in any way. They can't know what's coming and they can't understand the context.
All right. What is the arena? Because I think we have to find like a good...
How are you ever going to find anyone who isn't going to come back at you? It's so hard to imagine.
Well,
you can pick someone who's tiny who'd be afraid of
it. The arena matters too, because if you're doing it at intermission at the opera, you're a lot less likely to get attacked than if you do it at the mall.
Right. Well said. Although it still could be a thing, but you're right. It's a better shot. You could pick someone who's like skinny and really not used to physical combat of any kind and at the opera. You get thrown out of the opera, but that guy does not come at you, right?
Yeah.
He's like, sir, what have you done, sir? You know, garçon, because he doesn't, you know, usher. And then they come in, please escort this man to the nearest constable and so on.
Yeah, of course. That's exactly how it
goes. Because it's like the 1920s.
All right, let's say it's a mall. It's an upscale mall.
Jesus.
It's not like a strip mall. It's an upscale mall, like in the middle of a major city, like Chicago, let's say.
You're never going to get past one.
You think one is the... So you think the average is one.
It can't be, right? Because that's the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
So it can't actually be one. But it's hard to imagine you could ever get past three ever, essentially.
Well,
right?
Three seems like a good number. But
three would be an amazing... I think two is an outstanding number in this game.
I disagree.
What?
Imagine for a second,
you're
at the mall, you're waiting for a movie.
Yep.
Some dude who looks kind of like you
comes
up and slaps you.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Fucking freaking out.
Are you hitting him back?
I'm a pacifist. I'm not the right person to ask, so I'm less likely
to hit back. Am I hitting him back?
You're more likely to than me. I know that.
I'm probably not hitting him back.
Someone actually hit me in the face, I might at least like grab them by the shirt and like push them back and so, because I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Does that count?
I don't know. We didn't get clear. We said assault.
This game is so hard to build.
You know what? The answer is every time you slap someone, you're going to get somehow physically assaulted back. And if you're picking people who are that meek that they're not going to do it, that's all the game is then. It's like, how can I find the meekest person, which shouldn't be what this should be about.
No.
I'm calling it.
Yeah. Also, please do not do this. if for whatever reason any listeners got any ideas, do not do this.
Do not do it. However.
No, come on. Don't do it.
No, of course don't do it. But it'd be interesting to know what the number was.
But
don't do it.
If we could create a scenario that was fake and have it run the scenario, we could know the number.
Or someone else did it and it wasn't us.
No, don't do it.
Don't do it.
You to do physical violence don't to people that you don't know or people that you do know.
Really? No physical violence. Obviously, you people aren't dumb.
Well, most of them aren't.
Right. Some of you obviously
some
are.
Some of them have to be kind of dumb. It's just demographically. It's just how
it's
it is.
It's okay that you're dumb, but don't hit anybody.
The nice thing is that the ones who are dumb think they're not the ones who are dumb. Right? So if you're listening to this and you're thinking, yeah, of course, demographically, as the poker guys just said, some of the listeners to this podcast are going to be kind of dumb.
Yeah.
But that's not me.
Yeah.
You might be one of them still.
Well, that's true no matter what, right? You know, you can't know if you're stupid. It's really, really hard to ever know, right?
It's very difficult to know. I would say, as a stupid person, it's hard to say.
I mean, really, it's...
Did you just type in, can you know if you're stupid?
No. I was looking for this quote, which I found right away. When you are dead, you do not know you are dead. It's only painful and difficult for others. The same applies when you are stupid.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Everyone is convinced that they're not stupid. Like, even if they think they're not good at, like, book smarter, they're not this, you know, I couldn't get into Harvard or something like that. That doesn't mean they think they're stupid, right? They just think they're bad at that kind of a thing, but they think they're smart in other ways, right? Everyone thinks that, I think.
You think everyone thinks they're smart in some way?
I assume so. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just, I would assume that about myself, so I assume everyone thinks that.
Well, you're pretty highfalutin on yourself, aren't you?
I am. But so is everyone else. Everyone thinks I'm pretty highfalutin.
No, everybody thinks the exact same way you do. It's impossible.
No. I'm saying everyone else thinks I'm smart.
Of course.
I get a lot of feedback on how smart I am.
All the time.
You know how it is. So, you know, I'm just saying, like, that's true, I'm sure, for you as well, and many others who listen to this podcast, but not all of you. Maybe, some of you, they do not think you are smart.
Maybe for ZM Kyra, ZMCHIRAH, who suggested this hand, maybe everybody's like, that ZM Kyra is a real whippersnapper.
I mean, you know, could be.
Suggested this hand, nobody else did. And
wow.
You know, I could see why if you didn't look at the dimensions of the hand, and by that I mean the bet sizing, you might not see it as that interesting of a hand.
Oh, really?
But ZM Kyra saw this and recognized that this is really cool, and it's cool in a way that hands that we do have not been in most cases, especially tournament hands.
I'm guessing and I don't know what happens in this hand, but I have some guesses just based on what you said and knowing what we haven't covered and knowing sort of where poker has gone. Do you mind me spoiling
yeah,
because I don't really know? That this means that there's going to be some crazy overbet on the turn, like 2x the pot, 3x the pot kind of a thing. That's my guess without knowing anything.
Okay.
Because that happens a lot now in poker. That's starting to become a normal thing. And that just wasn't... In the old days, a big bet was 1.1x the pot, you know, or 0.8 of the pot on the turn. And now the really good players are 1.5xing and 2xing a lot of the time.
Well, we'll see, won't we?
I'm excited to find out. But that's my guess, and it feels good to make it.
All right. We are in steamy, trash-filled Paris. 17 out of 1,606 players remain.
Yes.
The current payout is something like 50K, is what you said?
Yeah, I can tell you exactly, but it's something like 50K. Oh, are you waiting for me?
I was waiting for you to tell me exactly.
I will tell you exactly, because Jesus, $52,951. That equates, of course, to 49,550 euro.
You didn't have to do the math. Everybody knew that.
Oh.
Everybody knew exactly what that equated to.
Well, everyone thought they knew it, but some people are not as
smart. Dollar's getting a lot stronger versus the euro.
Yep.
Since we've been doing this podcast. I feel like
yep.
When we started this podcast in 2014, that was a very different percentage difference.
Was it like 1.4-1 back then or something
like that? Yeah,
now it's pretty close. It's been that way for a while, though.
Anyways, 25K, 50K.
Yeah.
17 remain. That means we are... going to be like EPT only does 8-handed tables,
right?
So we have 3 tables left,
right? So it's like 3 tables of like 6, 6, and 5.
Yeah,
how many are at this table?
Unclear, but we know what the positions of the players are. That's good enough. We've got a guy whose last name is Held. We don't know his first name because he's one of those fellows who does not let Hendon put his name on there.
It's unknown player.
Yeah, out of the 17 remaining, there was one unknown player, and
it has to be him.
We divined that it was Held.
Yes,
last name Held from Germany.
Okay.
And there's probably a small fraction of the audience who's like, you don't know who fucking Held is?
You
son
pay
of
attention.
A bitch. How dare you?
Daniel Grunu did a whole podcast on Held.
Yeah. Right. He's got 3.73 million.
Okay.
So he's doing quite well for this stage of the tournament at the 50K big blind
level. He's got like 60, 75 blinds. Yeah, that's really good.
That's really good. He's got ace, deuce of spades in the cutoff. He's going to open to 100K.
Fine.
Seems fine. Then we've got in the big blind, Nicholas Astedt.
Yes.
A-S-T-E-D-T. He's got 2 million in front of him, so 40 blinds is the effective stack. Tell us a little bit about Nicholas Astedt, because he is not hidden on Hendon Mob.
Right. I can tell you a little bit about him, and I'm excited to know. Hey, let's quickly play the game, the Hendon game.
Okay,
here's a guy you've never heard of.
I've never heard of him.
So you're saying you just have no chance?
Are we excluding this tournament?
Yes.
Okay. He's got a pro-ish vibe to him, but so do a lot of players I play $300 tournaments with sometimes. So
he's from Sweden, if that helps.
Doesn't help at all. That means he pays a lot of taxes. That means that he enjoys snowboarding, most likely. I'm going to go with $240,000.
Okay, I'm going to give you a little more information. That's incorrect. He's 14th on the all-time Swedish poker money list.
Okay, so he's probably pretty good. 1.7 million.
Now we're getting somewhere. 2 million.
Okay. Cool. So he's a legit player.
Yeah, his best live cash coming into this event is $380,000. Mm-hmm. Not too shabby, and clearly a bunch of other six-figure scores as well.
Okay, so his pro-ish demeanor is revealing of his true nature.
Indeed. He actually finished multiple times second on the EPT, on EPT events anyway, not like main events, but 10,000 euro buy-in EPT events.
Okay, so then there's the same subset out there like, these fucking idiots don't know who Nicholas Astedt is.
Right,
he's
right.
14th on the Swedish all-time money list.
I mean, I bet you they can name 15 to 20 on that list, but they can't name 14 because they're not paying. That's what you get when you're not really paying attention. Also, poker guys tweet much.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. We're busy a lot. I don't know. We got other things
busy
going on.
Busy is a word. Alone. Busy is a word that you used. I'll give you that.
Yeah. It doesn't mean it's true.
Yeah.
So you're busy. You have a kid.
I have a kid. Yeah.
Come on.
That
I have a headache and you have a kid. So there you go.
Right. Same thing. So Astedt has the effective stack at around 40 blinds. Jack nine of hearts in the big blind has a very clear call.
Yeah.
I guess you could three bet sometimes, but that just seems like why.
Mostly we call.
Yeah. The pot is 275K.
Yes.
And the flop is a nightmare, both range-wise and hand-wise, for held. Jack of diamonds, 10 of diamonds, 8 of clubs.
Yes.
This is all over Astedt's range and, in fact, his actual hand.
Yes.
And held has ace, deuce of spades. There's not even a single spade on the board. It's a nightmare.
Okay.
There's definitely an argument for leading. I know I always ask that as a form of a question, but I'm just going to go ahead and say there's definitely an argument for leading with Jack 9 here.
There's an argument, sure.
It's mostly a range-based argument.
I mean, this is a, you know, especially with against the cutoff open, I would say this is pretty range neutral, this board, wouldn't you say?
I think Astedt has more unsuited straights.
I will grant you that.
And unsuited two pairs.
The queen nines of the world and the seven nines of the world, Astedt's going to have. That's really fair. Has, you know, less sets, more straights, less over pairs.
Yeah,
right?
He might have, he probably has at least a little bit of all of the available sets.
A little bit, but also most of his jack-jack. 10-10 with 40 blinds, he's going to 3-bet, right? Most
yeah, but sometimes you can flat.
Of course, but as we're saying, just less. We're not saying zero, just less.
So you don't like a lead?
No, I think this is going to get a lot of bets from our opponent, like a lot of the time. I think we're also have the kind of hand that we can comfortably call multiple streets with.
I don't think this is going to get a lot of bets from our opponent.
Really?
Think even if you believe this board to be range neutral, I think our opponent is only betting if he has something on this board.
I think our opponents have a lot of equity on this board a lot of the time, meaning they've got straight draws or pairs a lot and have reason. And this is a wet enough board they're going to be protecting or betting because they've got a draw. They're going to be doing one of those two things like most of the time on this board. That's my hit.
So do you want to never lead this hand on this board? 40 blinds effective?
Essentially. Hmm. You want to lead it how often?
I don't know. I just want to toy with it.
I think
know?
That's good. Toying with it's really good and a question we should be asking. And this is an interesting one to do it with because we never have to fold this hand if we get raised, which is nice, right?
Yeah.
Like, if we get raised, we could move in even if we want.
If we want to. I mean, if we get raised, the guy is representing queen nine suited, seven nine suited, or a set.
I mean, jack 10. He might raise jack 10 too. He doesn't have to only call with jack 10.
Right.
Some players would raise worse hands than that, too. Some players would raise strong top pair type hands, like ace-jack and kings and aces, depending on who they are. Probably not the best players, but some players would do that, too.
Okay. Let's assume held is good.
Yep.
I would expect that. Like so something that's nice about leading is we're almost never getting raised.
Right. But again, if we do, we have all the options available to us, and all are fine. We block the nuts. We have outs against everything. And it's a classic, every time we improve, the board gets scary spots. So like re-raising is not a bad idea just because it's fine to take it down now because it's hard to get value when we get there anyway.
Right. But with term and life being so valuable at this point, it's fine to mitigate variance and just go into check call mode.
Absolutely.
Hope to improve. You know, like any pot you win at this point, if bets go in post-flop, is a significant pot.
And also, you know, what we know about held is going to matter here, too. And we should know things about him by now, right? We should know if he's bluffy at all. If he, I doubt he's, you know, not the kind of guy who's going to see a bet very much. Most of these guys are going to, you know, take a lot of shots, I would think, at this level. They're not going to be super conservative players. He may be balanced, but I doubt he's going to lean towards passivity at once he has the initiative pre-flop. Like, mostly that isn't what happens with 17 players left in big, event, big tournaments, right?
So Asset's going to take the normal route and check.
Seems fine.
Held checks back. I'm not surprised.
Good job.
I don't know what
with this hand,
hands he's betting, but ace, deuce, of spades.
Yes.
If you're a good player, you're just not betting this board with ace, deuce, of spades.
No. If you have ace, queen, ace, king, right, all that kind of stuff, you can bet, right?
Maybe even ace, deuce of clubs, where you have the backdoor flush draw.
Maybe.
But you can't do it with no backdoor flush draw.
You have two backdoors with the ace, deuce of clubs. Yeah. Maybe. You might take your free card sometimes. You might bet it sometimes. Ace, deuce of spades, it's like, all right.
Yeah.
This is like, this hits my opponent way too often. Let's just move on with our lives.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
So they both check.
Okay.
There's still 275K in the pot. Jack, 10, 8, 2 diamonds, 1 club. Asset has Jack, 9 of hearts. Held has Ace, Deuce of spades. Turn is the Queen of spades.
Yes.
So Ace, King gets there, but...
Sure does.
Asset gets there with his 9.
Yep. I mean, it's one of those spots where it's like, well, I mean, it's probably fine. Mostly we're good.
Ace, King is often betting that flop if it has at least one diamond, especially.
I think so.
Sometimes it'll check back, I guess. But
mostly it's betting, I think.
So Asset checks again.
What do you think
about that?
I think it's cool.
Because you're just giving Held a chance.
You give Held a chance to rep Ace King, to bet other straight draws. Like, you know, if he's got like King 7 suited or King 6 suited hands that he really might be opening from the cutoff. Now pick up a straight draw here as well that he might be betting. Or even just a chance to like... Oh, God, maybe I could have had a pair, but now I hate my life, and I can't call a big bet now, kind of a thing, and in fact, we can. So I kind of like all that. I think a check makes a lot of sense. I think betting, it doesn't mean we are never going to get value from worse hands. Surely we will.
Yeah.
But a lot of the worst hands are going to fold, and certainly the very few hands that are better than ours, which is really just ace-king in this case, right? Because king-nine doesn't rate to be there almost ever. It would have often bet the flop. Obviously aren't going anywhere and have us in a death grip. So why check call makes all the sense in the world to me.
All right.
I like it. What do you think?
I think I agree.
Okay.
Asset does check.
Cool.
And here's where things get interesting.
Yep.
Held has ace, deuce of spades. This is not a good board.
He's picked up a gut shot.
He's picked up a gut shot, but it seems totally fine just to, you know, give up basically and hope that maybe you can hit a king on the river. Maybe somehow it goes check, check, and the other guy just never took a shot with 6-7 suited. You know, something like that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a totally fine plan, right?
That's okay. But it's also okay to bet here.
It is.
And like, say like, oh, I turned a queen, or I have ace king, or I made a straight, or I have two pair, or whatever. Like, fuck off, you know, with your whatever the hell you have. It's not crazy.
So Held is going to bet.
Yeah.
And you were correct. He bets big.
Feels good.
And I think this is really, in this case, very smart. Because there's a lot of hands that are going to call, you know, 150K that aren't going to call an oversized bet here.
Right. Exactly. Like, you're trying to fold out all the one pair of hands, right?
Right.
That are like, I have to call. It's three blinds versus like, what's coming on the river? This is way too hard. I'm just going to fold my eight.
Right. So Held bets 375K.
Yeah.
He bet 7.5 blinds.
Into 275, it looks like. Yeah.
Yeah. 375 into 275. And I think this is really cool.
Yep, this is what they're all doing now, man.
Haven't been seeing it in tournaments so much.
They're starting to do it in tournaments, too.
This is the Adamo effect.
I don't know if it's him or I don't know what it is, because usually he waits for the river to make these crazy overbets. Now it's becoming like betting 2, 3, even 4x the pot on the turn with money back.
When has this been happening that you've been seeing?
Been seeing it in just in a, like all hands recently. So this has become a big thing where like the sizing up has taken a new level of sizing up on the turn. Where it used to be, we bet tiny on the flop, ish. We bet big on the turn to define the hand and to this and to that. And it's just like taking it further because people are calling a lot, I guess, right now when you bet big on the turn because everyone knows it's coming.
Yeah.
So now you bet bigger so it doesn't matter. Like you can hate everything about the story. You have to fold a lot because it's just when I 2x it, what are you going to do? And like, I'm so polarized and the threat of a big bet on the river is so there. Like, you just can't call with much.
I think it's cool.
Yeah. Oh, it is.
So held is effectively trying to fold out, you know, if Estet turned a medium top pair type hand, like what are you going to do with queen six suited?
I mean, I think he's trying to fold out any queen, any 10, any eight, any jack.
Yeah. Do you think he can fold out two pair?
Probably not. But two pairs, he can't fold out two pair on the turn. If he were somehow to take another swing on the river, he might be able to fold it out then. But
he can fold out a king for an open ender.
Absolutely.
And he can fold out diamonds.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, it defines the hand so much, too, yeah. right? Because, like, now you're like, okay, well, he has no draws now.
Yeah.
He can't play a draw like this.
Right.
So I know what he has, and I get to decide. His range is much more constricted, and I can make real decisions about it based on whatever the river is, if I want to attack that part of the range or not. I get to decide. By the way, if a draw comes in, guess who can't have it? The guy who just called 375.
Yeah.
You can always rep the draw.
And Estet, with his nine, is very difficult to raise now with a nine. Right, like when the guy bets 375, like
yeah.
if the guy turned top set, is he gonna call if Estet shoves?
I don't know. Probably not. I don't know.
Yeah.
But do we really believe he's got top set? Almost like he's almost always betting that on the flop anyway.
You would think.
Yeah.
So what is held repping? Just ace king.
I think he could be repping a bunch of things. I think he can have ace king. I think he's repping a few straights too. Like nines with a pair,
yeah.
like 10-9 suited and stuff like that.
Did he check back?
He checks back because the board is whatever the board is.
And he's like he's pretty gonna, good, but he's not. You think not he's going to bet queens, but not that hand? For what reason?
Good question. Queens can get more value out of certain hands because queens is better than a pair of tens.
Yeah.
That's the best reason. That's the only
yeah.
real reason.
I don't know if that's enough of a reason to actually make it so you bet one and not the other.
Fair enough. You might bet both.
Yeah.
You might check both. Yeah. I think you're going to lean a little more queens there, but fair enough.
So I think it's possible for him to have queens. It's possible for him to have some sets, maybe. I don't know. If he's truly balanced, you know. Anyway, Estet calls the 375.
And yeah, he just has to call.
He's relatively comfortable, but there's a lot of things he doesn't want to see happen on the river.
I mean, there's a lot of scary cards, and even without the scary cards, when you get this size bet, now it feels like your entire stack is potentially in play, right?
Yep.
Even though like it'd be more than a pot bet on the river, there's like a million in there now, right, or something.
Yep.
And we've got like 1.7 back. Clearly that's in play,
yep. right?
So a lot is happening just on this tournament, and this is part of why I think the players are doing it.
I mean, I think on a total brick, you might have to call a shove, but
yeah.
you could consider against some players folding, but most players who you can consider folding don't take this line with this sizing.
I agree.
Speaking of this line with this sizing, nitro betting.
Yes.
Where you can get the lines on the sports betting.
And with the sizing.
Of the bet.
Of your dreams.
The size of the bet determines what your payout may or may not be.
Yes, it does.
And that's the way sports betting works. You're welcome, America and the rest of the world.
Now you know. You don't have to type that into Google.
Yeah, you don't have to ChatGPT that. Don't say Google anymore. It's illegal.
Right.
ChatGPT is the law.
I was talking to the demographic of our audience who isn't smart.
Oh, right, of course. Yeah, all the fools.
So anyone who was like, oh, yeah, I don't have to type that in Google. Well, now you know something about yourself.
Yeah, right? Now you learned. And you can learn more by gambling on nitro betting.
Yeah, you got to do it.
You got to use the link.
You got to gamble.
You got to use the link in the description when you sign up. You get access to the Poker Guys monthly tournament. It's a poker tournament that happens at the end of every month. You also get access to cool promotions that nitro betting will just shoot our way every now and then. You know, stuff that's only for you if you use the link.
Here's a new promotion that's happening.
What is it?
Whoever gambles the most in the month of April on Nitrogen. This could be sports betting, casino games, poker, whatever you want. The person with the most volume, though, they're going to put me in a little package and send me to your home.
That is untrue.
What do you mean?
It's not true. It's a lie.
You weren't always talking to these guys. You don't know every conversation I have with
them.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to guess that you didn't have a conversation with
little package. Well, it's not a little package. Obviously, they're not going to cut me up. But, like, I'm going to be my full self, and I'm going to be alive. I think that's the deal.
I mean, they think you're going to be alive, but do they know? Have they tested this?
They have not tested it.
Okay.
They were very clear they haven't tested it, except on a cat, and the cat expired. But
it's a different animal.
Exactly.
So like, you can't really use that data.
Oh, I didn't realize. Are a cat's lungs the same as my lungs? Can you just give a lung transplant and the cat's fine and I'm fine? No.
Exactly. That's why you got to use the link when you sign up for nitro betting. Because you get access to fake promotions, but more importantly, real promotions.
And real sports betting.
Real sports betting, real casino games, real poker. We'll see you on Nitro Betting, where Jonathan is asphyxiated in one way or another. All right. 1.025 million in the pot.
Okay.
Estet has a straight on Jack 10, 8 queen with two diamonds. He has Jack 9 of hearts.
Yeah.
Held has a gut shot to the nut straight with ace, deuce of spades, but it is not a good gut shot to the nut straight. It is not going to be a great situation for him pretty much ever unless he hits a king.
Right.
Which he does not. The river is the eight of diamonds.
Right.
So that means everything that Astet didn't want to see come in, comes in. Unless a king came, which right. is probably... An ace or a king is a worse card maybe than this, but...
Those are really bad cards. Diamonds, yeah, diamonds and the board pairing, not ideal.
Ace or king of diamonds is probably the worst, but the board pairing plus a diamond is the second worst.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, mostly you would think, though, hands that have... That are very strong right now. Flushes, full houses. Mostly betting the flop, right? Not entirely, but mostly, right?
You would think that, but... Yeah. If we're going to choose cards that we don't want to see.
Yeah. We would have preferred a deuce of clubs. Yeah. You're right about that. Not clubs, sorry. Deuce. Oh, well, it's diamonds on the river, right?
Yeah.
So diamonds don't come in. I'm sorry.
Yes, they do.
They do come in. It's clubs that wouldn't. That, okay, yeah, okay. There's two diamonds on the flop. I got confused.
That's too easy to confuse.
I got confused.
All right, so it's Jack 10, 8, Queen 8 with three diamonds.
Okay.
Astet's got Jack 9 of hearts. That four straight really shrinks up on this board.
It's not. It is a terrible card. You're right.
Yeah.
Because now there's more things we're losing to than we were before. Before, we were just losing to Ace-King, essentially, and King-9.
Yep.
And now we're losing to a bunch more stuff, too. In theory, at least.
In theory.
Yeah.
Also, who's got the range advantage now? I think it's pretty clearly held.
Well, this is what I was saying, right?
Yeah, like with the turn bet.
The diamonds, like, it's almost impossible for Astet to have diamonds and play them this way,
yep.
right? I guess he could have a set. And play, but it's hard for him to, like, he could have like 10-8 and have played it this way.
They both rarely,
that's the handicap.
They both rarely have full houses, I would say.
Right. Jack 8, 10-8 for Astet could be there, where he might go check, check, and then the straight card comes like, fuck, check, big bet, he just calls and he fills up. But not too often, right?
Yeah. I think neither of them have a full house too often. Right. I don't think either of them have a flush too often either.
I agree.
I think if Astet had two diamonds, he would have bet the turn almost always trying to rep the nine.
A lot of the time he's going to play. And also, he's just not going to flat out of position 1.5 pot with right. diamonds only. He needs more than that.
Yep. Right?
So I agree with you. And if he's got a draw with it, he might. If he had King X of diamonds, for example, he's probably leading the turn or check raising the turn. He's rarely just flatting the turn.
Right.
He just does too much.
Probably have some 9X of diamonds. I mean, obviously, he's not
folding
that on the turn. So those are the flushes that Astet could have.
Yeah.
Anyway, Astet checks. It's a terrible card. He would love to see a check back.
Be like, oh my God, it'd be so easy. Or a small bet is fine.
Show me ace queen. Check back and show me ace queen. That sounds great.
I mean, a small bet is what? There's a million in there. Like 400,000 on the river. You're like, maybe we chop. Maybe I win a little. I don't even know. 400,000 isn't great either. Actually.
No,
you're right. You really want to check.
You do.
Okay.
It's not what he's going to get.
No, of course not.
So Held goes for it.
Yeah.
The main question we have to ask is, should he go for it? And is all in the right size? Because we were talking about 400K being not great for Astet either. Held goes all in for 1.66 million effective into 1 million. So things really escalated here.
We're talking
about a 38 blind bet in a pot that really didn't need one.
It's got 20 blinds in it.
Yeah. So what do you think? Is this a good play? Should he have gone for it on this card after the players acted this way throughout the hand? And did he need to go this big?
Boy, you know, I feel like, first of all, if Held had bet small on the flop, huge on the turn and then shove the river, he reps the flush so well.
Yeah.
Right. It's so much harder. I know we can have some diamonds here. Don't get me wrong. But it's so much less likely for him to have diamonds and check back the flop. Right. It's just so much less likely. So that's not great. The sizing, though, and the fact that, as we were saying, Astet essentially can't have diamonds. It's essentially impossible.
He can have any 9X of diamonds.
I guess he's not going to... Oh, because he makes a straight. Okay, he can have 9X of diamonds. You're right. He can have 9X of diamonds. That's it, though, right? Those are the diamonds he can have, pretty much.
Yeah, that's it, because all of the flopped cards have a diamond equivalent.
He needs to have... Yeah, he can't even have Queen 8 of diamonds, because the 8 of diamonds comes on the river. Right. Could he have Queen X of diamonds? Maybe. Maybe he could have exactly Queen X of diamonds.
Yeah, I think he could have Queen X of diamonds.
So he turns top pair with the diamond draw, and he's like, I have to call, especially now that everyone's taking this sizing type stuff on the turn.
Queen X of diamonds and 9X of diamonds.
Guess what? You know who's not going to love calling even that on the river? The Queen X of diamonds.
Queen X of diamonds is probably a mandatory call.
I think it is.
You block too much.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a better call than the 9X of diamonds.
It's definitely better.
Yeah.
But anyway, so there's a few combos we can have where we have diamonds, but not many at all. And some of them may take different lines than what than this line that he's taken.
So do you think Held is just playing against Astet's hand and not caring what he's repping?
I think having the ace helps him a little bit, but no, I think mostly he just doesn't care what he's repping. He's just like, fuck you, how can you call? Like, you're almost never super strong. How can you call?
Right. I mean, you have to give Held a lot of credit for balancing to imagine that he has either a flush or a full house here.
Yes. I mean, is it better for Held to bet 1.1 million than 1.66, by the way? Does he get the same amount of folds and risk less?
I think not. I think at this stage of a major tournament, putting someone's tournament life at risk is a huge factor.
People make those like super tough folds in these spots, it feels like, all the time too, when you put their life on the line, right?
Yeah, I've definitely
think forever and make that very upset fold, right?
I've been there where I've made the mistake of making a big bet but not an all-in bet.
Yeah.
And when I was like, what the fuck was I just doing?
Yeah.
Like, this happened, so this is no longer the case, but there's a local tournament that runs twice a year. It's like an $800 buy-in that happens on the coast of Oregon. Mm. And it used to have a very strange structure that I haven't seen anywhere else, where there's this incredible add-on bubble, because you get 30,000 in chips at the beginning of the tournament, and then there's six levels, which are all 50 minutes long. So it's, you know, a lot of play with this 30,000 in chips. And after those six levels, so you've bought in for 600. And after those six levels, there's a $200 add-on for another 30K in chips. So the add-on bubble is extremely interesting and strange. And like, if you can start putting people's tournament life on the line at the add-on bubble, it's a huge advantage. And I've taken advantage of it a few times. Again, this isn't going to be the structure anymore, but in the past it was.
I busted out because someone did that to me and I bluff caught them, and they were bluffing with a slightly better hand than the last time I played that event, actually, just before the bubble, the add-on bubble.
So I was on the add-on bubble and I didn't have a big stack. So I wasn't playing add-on bubble bully. So I wasn't really thinking about it enough, but I had the guy that I was playing against covered by like 4,000 chips. And I ended up bluffing with like pretty good blockers, in a spot where I just didn't really believe this guy. And so I check raise the turn with these blockers, and then I bet like pot 0.3 on the river, which was, you know, 7K less than putting him all in. And he thought for a really long time before making a crying call with top pair.
Because he can be wrong and still do the add-on and get 37,000.
And if I had just bet all of it, because I had him covered by 4K, I'm almost sure he would have folded.
Right, because now he's like, oh God, I won't get the opportunity. Yeah, that's a huge difference.
Yeah, so I really fucked that up.
Yeah.
You know, so I think this might be that type of situation when there's 17 left in a tournament like this, where it definitely generates more fold equity than the chip difference that
it's such a weird... I mean, I guess you can have it once in a while, and Adamo has shown he can make these kinds of huge bets and even much bigger than this and really have it, right?
Yeah.
But, like, mostly it feels like guys don't have it when they do this these days, you know?
I think they should.
Maybe that's not fair.
This guy is good enough to redact his name from Hendon. He has it sometimes.
Okay. So he can have ace-king a little bit here. He can have full houses a little bit here. He can have diamonds a little bit here.
I'm not sure if he's going for it with ace-king.
Trying to get value out of a nine?
He'd be a little concerned about backdoor diamonds, wouldn't you think? Like the 9X and Queen X of diamonds?
Yeah. Also with the board pairing, because they would be forced, they would never lead the river, right, in a million years. Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe he checks or bets very small.
Right.
Maybe it's 200,000 on the river or something like that.
That said, you have to give Held a lot of credit to imagine that he's really repping something. But Astet isn't snap calling with a nine because he's giving Held credit, right? Yeah. And you probably should give a guy credit who redacts his name from Hendon. That means he's good.
But good means a lot of different things, right? Good doesn't have to mean you have it. Good means you know how to put
pressure on.
All right,
so what should Astet do? He has Jack 9 of hearts.
I don't fucking know,
Jack,
man.
I know, this is a fun spot. On Jack 10, 8, queen, 8, 3 diamonds.
On one level, the answer is very clearly, we should call, how can this guy fucking have you beat? On one level, right? On another level, you're putting your entire, this is what you're saying, my entire tournament can be over. We've made it to 17 left. There's $1.2 million still to be won.
I still have 38 blinds sitting right here in front of me.
I put very little in. I don't have a whole lot of sunk cost here. Like, I can, you know, fight or live to fight here. Living to fight doesn't sound so bad, right? Like, discretion can be the better part of valor, man.
Yeah.
So I can really understand. I think this happens all the time in tournaments, hands just like this, where the guy with Astet who's got the straight thinks for a really long time and just decides it's just not worth making this call.
By the way, I've been totally wrong about how many blinds he has. He has 18 blinds in front of him. I don't know why I said 38.
Oh, that is a lot different, but you can still maneuver with 18 blinds, as we know. You and I have done that so many times, right, in these spots, and like won tournaments or finished top three or whatever. So, I think in practice, people fold this hand almost always in this spot But I think what we're going to see is as people adjust more to this new line that everyone's taking, is they're going to stop overfolding. Hmm. In this spot, it's really hard not to overfold because everything got there.
Yeah.
Everything. Except a king came. A king didn't come and an ace didn't come, which would have been devastating. And that would have been an easy fold for us, though, I think, right?
Yeah.
Like, okay, fine. But like often on the turn, he's betting with like an ace or a king, right? Often.
Yeah.
And maybe one diamond. And then on the river when that comes in, often he's still got that ace or king and maybe the ace of diamonds in his hand, right? Like just like a lot of time he might just have the ace of diamonds. It's a pretty good blocker card for everything and fuck it, he's going for
it. It's not 18 blinds. I don't know why. My brain is broken.
What has happened to you?
You're the one who's supposed to have the broken brain today.
How much does he have?
He has 33 blinds.
Wow.
We okay. got there. So it's more like 38 than it is like 18.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. Like you really can win this tournament comfortably, easily. You're probably in like around average stack right now if you fold.
Yeah.
Give or take, right? So that's pretty good. And the thing is, if we fold, we're down to 33 blinds. If we call and we win, we get the full double, right? So now we're at like 82 blinds or
yeah.
something like that. And we're among the chip leaders.
Yeah, that's a huge amount
that's a big
of
deal.
Chips, yeah.
A lot of this has to come down to just what do we know about held? Like, have we seen him go for it a lot in these spots? If we see him taking these lines a lot, we just have to call.
Right, because this hand is, it's actually not that high in our distribution, but it's somewhere in our distribution where it's like reasonable to consider calling. I mean, this is better than a naked nine. We block full houses. With a jack.
That's right. We block a bunch of full houses we want to block even.
So we certainly have a few full houses in our range, which we have to snap call with. We have a fair amount of diamonds in our range, which I think we have to probably call with all of them if this guy is capable of this.
I think you're right.
You have all the queen X and all the nine X of diamonds, which is out of the big blind, quite a few combos.
No, because we're not going to play the turn this way with a lot of our diamond combos.
No, the queen X and nine X.
Yeah, those are the ones.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which I'm saying out of the big blind.
I'm sorry. I thought you were saying all the combos.
No, but queen X and nine X make up quite a few diamond combos.
Sure.
Yeah.
But in the big blind, so do a bunch of other diamond combos. But anyway, it's fine. From where we are, yes, we got a bunch of those.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Okay, fine.
So maybe since we have so many combos of diamonds with those two types of diamond combos, we don't have to call with our other nines.
We have a few full houses also. Not many,
yeah,
but
which
a few.
I did mention.
I'm just saying. So, yeah, look, if we don't see Held making moves like this much, I don't think we can call with this hand. If we see him... I'm flashing back to playing in the Monster Stack. Or was it the Millionaire Maker? It was the Millionaire Maker. This is like in 2017. And it was day two. And this one kid was clearly the best player at the table. And he was just running over the table in beautiful ways. It was like gorgeous to watch. He was doing all these like big check raises on the river and all this cool stuff. And it worked every time. And I was just like, this kid's incredible. This kid's so good, right? But he ends up check raising the river all in against the old guy on my left who has like jack 10 on a king, queen, jack 9. Sorry, king, queen, 10, 9 X board. He check raises all when the board pairs, when it's like 9, 9. The kid check raises all in because he has blockers. You know, it's like king, queen or something like that. And the guy just calls right away with just his, not even the good straight, just the shitty straight, right? And the kid is just out. And he's so upset. He can't believe this old guy would call, you know, because he shouldn't call there, you know. He feels like the guy has to have a better hand than that. But the kid's been doing plays like this a lot. And I don't think the old guy was thinking about this, but I was thinking about it. And I was like, the kid can't have it this much. Like, and he's not going to play it this way this much.
Also,
like,
the old guy has pretty good blockers.
He has some pretty good blockers. That's a good point. Now, the old guy wasn't thinking about any of that, in fairness.
But it so but happened
true.
That he did.
No, he called so fast. And then afterward, he's like, he was saying to himself, but I was sitting right next to him. He's like, I have over a million chips. I have over a million chips. It was very sweet. It was very cute. Yeah.
So I have a question distribution-wise for Astet. Is Jack 10 a better call than this hand? Or is Queens up, maybe?
I think Jack 10 is a worse call because I would be concerned that maybe sometimes Held is turning up slightly better hand than Jack 10 into a bluff.
Like
any one pair that's better than Jack 10. So that would be like queen, I guess not ace queen, king king ace ace.
Yeah.
I don't think it's happening often, but that would be a shitty way to lose.
Is queen 10 a better call than Jack 9 then? Because there's a little bit less to worry about.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't even know. I don't know. What do you think? Like, it's cool to block more full house type stuff. I guess. There's not that much. It doesn't feel like we're blocking that many full house stuff, really, though. Like, I mean, not sorry, we're blocking it. It doesn't feel like there are that many full houses around anyway.
I'm just trying to think of the makeup of hands that we get to the river with.
Yeah.
And they include the gooder, the good hands that we talked about, which are the Queen X, Nine X of Diamonds, and some
two pair hands.
Very slowly played full houses.
Right.
Then there's two pair hands like Jack 10
right.
and Queen 10.
So you're trying to figure out which one of those we're calling with
and
which
Queen
ones
Jack.
We're folding, right?
And then there's hands that are pair and a nine, which is what we have.
Right.
So what's the bottom of that whole thing? I think...
Is it better to have a queen in our hand because we block queen-queen? Or we'd rather... I know that you're asking also we block like a 10 or a jack too, which would be cool if we had queen-jack or queen-10. That feels a little less important than having the queen in our hand to me.
Like, does the nine matter at this point?
Right.
Is it better just to have queen-jack than any straight because
maybe.
The blockers are more important?
Maybe. The good players may... I mean, maybe it does. Maybe it's just better. God, the hand value is really different. but the only differences really play out in, like we're saying, like if he's turning like ace-queen into a bluff or somehow ace-ace or king-king into a bluff, which feels crazy, and he probably doesn't have to do that, especially when the board pairs on the river, right? He could just check back and be like, do I win? I might win.
Well, you know, we also have other hands that might be better than this hand to call with. Like we could have ace-nine with the ace of diamonds. There's no reason we wouldn't have played that hand this way.
Yes, that's a great point. That's a much easier call than this.
Or king-nine with the king of diamonds.
Right.
Maybe any nine with any diamond is better, even if it's not a flush, you know, because we at least block the diamonds.
Right. I think you're right.
So I think maybe this is a fold, because we've kind of found a lot of hands that feel better to call with.
I think you're right. And maybe you're right even that, like, a queen-ten might be better, too.
Yeah.
That's at least close. But you're right. All these, anytime we have a diamond in our hand, it's better. And we will have 9X with a diamond in
our
hand.
Right, because there was no bet on the flop.
Right. So and we're in the freaking big blind here, right? So we're going to call with some offsuit stuff.
Yeah.
So we have some diamonds here, single diamonds.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Even if there was a bet on the flop, by the way, we can call, because we would have...
Yeah, we had an open ender. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think this is just a fold.
I think it is, too. Ugh, how annoying.
That's what Astat does.
Yeah.
He folds. Held gets the audacious move through. And we believe that Held ends up finishing sixth, because that's the unknown player. How much is that for?
€244,000, $266,747.
Where's Astat end up?
12th. Mm. This is a big pot for him.
Yeah.
€71,000, $76,000.
Still a good score, but...
You know. A good score, but, you know, he makes this call, and I'm not saying he should have, but, like, he makes this call, like, really might have finished top five.
Yep.
Like, holy shit, they may have just flipped positions.
I wonder, like, I would really like to know, a player like Astat, who's clearly a tournament pro based on his resume, like, where does he draw the line at calling? Is he calling with ace-nine with the ace of diamonds? Or
he has to.
Is the sizing and the situation scary enough...
You have to call with the ace of diamonds and a straight.
Yeah.
You just have to. How about ace jack with the ace of diamonds? I mean, we're blocking stuff, but Jesus.
I don't think you call with that. I think you might fold the turn with that.
Yeah, you're right. We probably just fold the turn.
Yeah.
That's a great point. And we don't really ever, we have almost no ace queen with the ace of diamonds.
No.
We have a little bit, but not much.
Not much.
We're three manning that so often.
Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, and I guess we have to call the turn with if we somehow have ace queen, but sometimes, I mean, I guess we just have to call, even though it's 1.5 times the pot. We just have to call top there, right?
This was a cool hand. I like this because it's like, it looks relatively straightforward on its face, but there's really a lot of complexity that goes into it.
The sizing stuff is really changing the game. Like, like Doug Polk and Scott Ball, I don't know, I think they're done, but they were playing heads up at the Lodge. You know, where it's like $100,000 buy-in.
Yeah.
Or Doug Polk's playing a lot of people heads up these days. And like Scott Ball, like three or four, I think he four bet queens pre-flop. Doug called with ace 10. The flop was ace high. Scott Ball bet like normal amount on the flop and I think three times the pot on the turn with queens on an ace high board. Doug called because he also had a flush draw, missed the, because he had like the 10 of hearts, missed the heart on the river, checked. Scott Ball bet big on the river and Doug folded after a long think about it. And Scott, like, showed two queens and made, like, a face like, eh.
Yeah.
And it's like, geez, these guys are so good that he can take this marginal hand that most people think is good enough to, like, not have to do all this bluffing with. And he knows he's got it. Like, when he bets 2 or 3X the pot on the turn and gets called, he knows queens aren't good.
Yeah.
So he knows. So this is one of the values of this stuff is your opponent's range is so much more defined than you betting 75% of the pot.
Right. Interesting stuff.
I know.
Fun to toy with.
Really fun to toy with.
Music is my sunlight, and all I need is one mic, and I can show every single MC how it's done right. Every time I come by, I'm bound to leave them tongue-tied. I'm sipping on liquor, a quitter is what I'm not. We got one life, and I took a minor break, but I'm back to claim the throne. I'm gonna be traveling the globe, we still have time to make